Good morning. I hope that you all are well out there in video land as you're watching the service today. I just pray that all is well and you're keeping your faith strong. Here in Southern Oregon, I just want you to know that the weather is beautiful outside. It's warm, and compared to the weather we've had the last few weeks, I want to let you know that, in case you're not aware, that this next week, summer is going to begin. We're going to be up in the 90s in some days, and I know that makes some of us excited. That will kill the bugs, a good hot sun like that. Well, as many of you know, President Trump laid down the law yesterday in saying that churches are to open, and so it looks like that things are going to get much better. We're waiting for guidelines from the conference. We could have opened this particular today, but the elders, we got together and met together and just felt that the guidelines were so strict and so time-consuming that we thought we'd just wait a little bit, maybe 1 or 2 weeks, and see how things go from there. Blessings to each one of you, and may you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit in a special measure this morning as we spend time in the Word of God. Let us pray. Father God, we want to thank you for your love, your blessings for this Sabbath day. We just ask in the name of Jesus that you'll bless us with the words we speak and the things we hear. May your Holy Spirit guide us. And I pray that you'll watch over all our people out there that in waiting patiently for a time when we can come back together in fellowship. So bless us today. Bless us with this message. Is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. How great is true love? How great is it? What is true love? Memorial Day is often celebrated to recognize the sacrifices of men and women that they have given in making our place here safer. Some of those sacrifices have not only been in time, but even in their lives, giving their lives. Now, the Seventh-day Adventist Church does not encourage our young people to join the military because of Sabbath issues and that of bearing arms. But if one does join the military, at the same time, we as a people support, encourage, and honor their decision. And with saying that, I would like to wish and thank Zach, Cody, Joshua, for the service they're giving to our country and to us at this very moment as they're in the services. Giving one's life to serve and to sacrifice is another demonstration of great love. Jesus made such a sacrifice. It's 3 a.m. on a cold winter day. The loudspeakers are overheard blasting away, telling everyone to get in their places. Surrounded by sandbags, concrete barriers, and roughly 10,000 soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, Bagram Air Base have flipped the switch and turned a deployed city in sleep to a sea of green and tan military awaiting further direction. Some just woken from a few hours of street sleep. Others were leaving their duties to attend more pressing concerns. All right now are focused on the events that are about to unfold. Down a 3-mile lane road, in this Afghanistan base, standing shoulder to shoulder, men and women in arms, waited to pay their respects to fallen comrades. Soon the lights of emergency vehicles can be seen slowly making their way up the boulevard. Escorts leading the way with their lights flashing, leading a flatbed trailer to a waiting C-17 cargo plane that was on its way back to the United States of America. You see, on that trailer were three caskets draped in U.S. flags. And as the trailer approaches the lines of these servicemen lining the streets, each one pays their respects by giving a sharp salute. And all of a sudden, everything went blank on my laptop for some reason. Wait just a second. Give me just a second here. I don't know what happened. Why interfered me? There we go. So anyway, this trailer's approaching, this C-17 cargo plane, and the soldiers give a salute, standing at attention, each paying the respect the best they can under these circumstances. Once the trailer reaches the plane, the formation is dismissed. Thousands of servicemen in the Middle East war zone, paying their homage and respect in the best way they know how. And similar ceremonies are taking place around the world constantly. Out in other parts, all showing their love and respect for their fallen soldiers and military people in the line of duty. And that's what Memorial Day is all about, to remind us of this, of those who have given so much for us today. And this coming Monday is remembering those fallen heroes and honoring and the sacrifices they gave in our behalf. Every conflict that we have ever been in involved has had its share of casualties of both our sons and daughters, often due to unusual bravery that they displayed in the events of casualties and high-risk combat. Every once in a while during these conflicts, something happens. A pilot, a sailor, a soldier, a Marine does something which is totally out of the ordinary, that Congress acknowledges that person's efforts by awarding them the Medal of Honor. The reward is presented to someone who distinguishes himself or herself with gallantry at the risk of life above and beyond the call of duty. The deed performed must have been one of self-sacrifice so conspicuous as to clearly distinguish the individual above his own comrades and must have been involved in a risk of life. More often than not, these individuals, these comrades, these soldiers, these Navy men, the Marines, have sacrificed themselves for the good of others. One such individual was Douglas Albert Monroe. The Medal of Honor was ordered to Petty Officer Monroe as a result of the actions of September 7th, 1942, a while back. You see, Monroe was in charge of a group of 24 Higgins boats, and they were engaged in an evacuation of a battalion of Marines that were trapped by the enemy Japanese on an island. Actually, it was Point Cruz, Guadalcanal. And after making primary plans for the evacuation of nearly 500 Marines. Monroe under constant fire by enemy machine guns on the island and at the great risk of his own life, daringly led five of his small craft towards the shore. As he closed into the beach, he signaled to others to land. And then in order to draw the enemy's fire and protect from heavy loaded boats, he actually took his boat and placed it between himself and the other craft, shielding them on the beachhead. And when this precious task of evacuation was nearly completed, Monroe was instantly killed by the enemy. But his crew of two, of whom were also wounded, carried on until the last boat had loaded and cleared the beach. And by his outstanding leadership, his outstanding planning, and dauntless devotion to duty, he and his courageous comrades undoubtedly saved the lives of many of those Marines who otherwise would have perished. He bravely gave his life for his country and fellow comrades. Another such example is a sacrifice made by Pat Tillman. Now, Pat Tillman was a professional football player of the Arizona Cardinals who actually chose to leave this life of luxury behind and join the United States Army. Pat eventually joined the Special Forces and found himself in Afghanistan. Pat also paid that ultimate price. And there are many such stories that we can go on and tell, but the picture is clear. Many women and men have put their lives in extreme danger for their comrades in arms, and in some cases gave their lives in order that others might live. It seems in every war, in every battle, almost without exception, such heroic actions occur, sometimes from individuals you least expect. I have no doubt that each time in the days and weeks that followed, the Zoth recipients of such unselfishness were inspired to go out and do even better for their fellow soldiers. It's in a small Middle Eastern town, country 2,000 years ago. And that's exactly what happened. A closer look at this hero reveals some strong similarities to the heroes I've just described, but also some significant differences. You see, his name was Jesus, son of Joseph the carpenter, raised in Nazareth. The scriptures gives us little or almost nothing about his childhood, his early life, other than the familiar Christmas story, the visit of the Magi, the time that he stayed behind in the temple and his parents had to come and find him. After that, there's a significant jump ahead in time in his adult life and his ministry among both his people and the Jews and many Gentiles as well. To begin with, stop and think about Jesus put himself in harm's way. He endured pain. He endured suffering for the benefit of others. In Isaiah 53, he was foretold far in advance. And we read this, "Surely he took up the infirmities, carried our sorrows, yet we consider him stricken by God, smitten and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. What's interesting to me is that Jesus was not drafted, but he himself volunteered to do this. Not just to serve, but knowingly to give his life. To give his life. And he did it willingly. Isaiah continues, he says, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before a shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. And Matthew records in the gospel, not once, but twice, that Jesus responded to this pain and suffering he was about to endure with these words. Not my will, Father, but yours be done. Total surrender, total sacrifice, total willingness to endure the pain and the sacrifice and even the death that we might live. And just in the case of Petty Officer Monroe, Jesus willingly endured this pain and suffering on our behalf. Paul wrote in the letter to the Philippians these words, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. And in Romans chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. Though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love to us in this, while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. And it's amazing, usually, like the scripture says, perhaps occasionally, someone will lay down their life for a friend. But it amazes me that Jesus, in reality, laid down his life for his enemies, even though he calls us his friends. We rebelled against him. And yet, he chose to volunteer to lay down his life to protect us and give us life. Amazing. At this point, however, in our comparison, things fall short. The men and women of the military put their lives in danger for the sake of their fellow soldiers against other human beings. The battle Christ waged was against something far more powerful, far more devastating. The ultimate victory was not simply the taking of some important hilltop or the taking of some body of water or even of taking of one country over another, but one of which secured our lives for eternity. He gave his life for the whole world to save the world. The victory over power of the devil. He gave his life for victory in sin in our lives, and ultimately for victory over death. Our enemy, death. He volunteered to die that death that we would not have to face it. In that victory, the sacrifice made by Jesus Christ, like Douglas Monroe, if you please, inspired those who witnessed it or heard about it. And in his first letter, Peter addresses this. Peter, of course, if you please, Jesus' lieutenant. Yeah. If you encourage his readers, he encourages his readers to listen what Peter's commandments are. The officer had to say, 1 Peter chapter 3. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord, Peter says. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Peter is saying here, be inspired for what Jesus has done for us. And be ready to give an answer for those that question why you are a follower of Jesus. why you honor Jesus for the great sacrifice he gave. And later in the letter, Peter gives words of caution and encouragement to speak this way. He says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. The clearest, most dramatic example of how Christ's life and death and resurrection inspiring people is the fact that in times when we can, when the pandemic leaves, we come together as a people. We come together and we sing hymns. We hear the word of God being preached, proclaimed. We come together and praise him and prayer and petitions. And we come together to encourage one another in our faith. This is a sign that we honor and look up to what Jesus has done for us. But in spite of the wide assortment of issues that have created problems in the past few months, the fact remains that even in America, America still has the best and is the best well-equipped and trained military in the history of the world. The weaponry we have, combined with the technology to use it, makes us seem quite invincible, or at least we feel that way. That is, until another attack comes upon our homeland again. We need to be honest with ourselves and admit that in a world of terrorist attacks, where individuals do not hesitate to give their own lives the destruction of others because of some cause or belief they have, that we will really never be totally protected and invulnerable. Remember, in this world, Jesus explains, kingdom will rise against kingdom, nation against nation. There will be great earthquakes, famines, pestilence in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. And these events are happening today. We're experiencing one right now. And it's more than likely they will continue to happen in the future until Jesus says, enough is enough, and come to rescue. But the psalmist seems to answer back this gloom and this doom chapter. And so in Psalms 34, he says, I sought the Lord and he answered me and he delivered me from all my fears. So Jesus gave his all. And as we look to Jesus, it takes away the fear that we have, because of all these things that are happening around us. Paul also answers in 2 Timothy. He says, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack, including pestilences, every evil attack, and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. Ooh, what a promise. What a promise. No matter what we're facing in the world or outside the world, physically or spiritually, Jesus will rescue us. Christians actually fight a different battle. Christians actually fight a different war beyond the physical act of combat. And Paul reminds us of this. He says, for though we live in the world, we don't wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. But the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. They can destroy that which is trying to destroy us. And in his letter to the Ephesians, Paul says this. He points out that that the armor of God that we have is incredibly strong to protect us. He says, finally, brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities. We wrestle against powers. We wrestle against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take on the whole armor, the total armor. Take it on, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So our battle is not flesh and blood, as much as that devastates us sometimes. But our battle is a spiritual battle, a greater battle, and a greater loss if we would lose it. But Paul says, put on that whole armor of God. And then he goes on and he continues describing that armor of God, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. Our feet are fitted with the gospel of peace. We carry the shield of faith. We have the helmet of salvation. And we have the Lord of the Spirit. Look at that list. We have truth, righteousness, gospel of peace, faith, salvation, spirit. Woo! What an armor. If we carry all of this, not leaving anything out, friends, we will be so protected that we can go forward in battle with great faith. This armor, combined with a life of steady and regular prayer, will indeed protect us from temptations that come our way. This armor, when we carry it and use it, ultimately preserves our life for eternal joy in heaven one day. The story is told of another soldier who lived in with such confidence as we just described, even as he found himself in the heat of battle. You see, during the Korean War, one of his buddies was hurt badly in the battlefield on Heartbreak Ridge. His buddies were in a foxhole about 50 yards away when the man was hit by sniper fire in an ambush. As the bullets continue whizzing around, the other men in the foxhole were discussing amongst themselves what to do. How could they rescue their friend? How could they reach him with such heavily intense firing going on by the sniper? To actually crawl out of that foxhole and to crawl closely over there and grab their buddy and come back, well, such a move would definitely probably cause death. So they sat there in that foxhole listening to their friend out there 50 yards away yelling for help. Then one of the men in the foxhole began to look very intensely at his watch. He could not keep his eyes off of it. He just stared at his watch, to the point that the other soldiers in the foxhole were looking at him and starting to ask him questions. He didn't say a word. He didn't say a word. He just remained silent and kept staring at his watch. And all of a sudden, without any notification, the man with the watch jumped out of the foxhole, crawled over to the wounded buddy, and then he grabbed him by the neck of the collar and very slowly made his way back to the foxhole. All the while, the sniper's fire was going all around them and they could hear it. whizzing by. Both amazingly made it back to the foxhole safe without any more wounds. After the sniper fire died down, the man who saved his buddy was asked why he waited so long to cry out there for the wounded friend, to which he responded, "My mom said every day, at the exact time, she'd be praying for me. And according to my watch, I left the foxhole exactly when she started praying." We may not always receive answers of prayer in such a traumatic way. Even though our prayers may also involve physical protection and even the sparing of life, they may seem to go unanswered from time to time, but we have God's promise, friends. His promise that ultimately victory in this world is ours. The one which guarantees us eternal life in Him is ours through our Savior, Jesus. As we go forth, let me encourage you to remember that those who have served and made sacrifices for the freedoms that we enjoy today. But at the same time, we need to constantly give thanks to God also for Jesus and His willingness to serve. His commitment to our spiritual freedom, His commitment to our eternal salvation, and then to be confident in our daily faith battles, knowing that you are equipped by God with the armor of God to be a faithful warrior that makes a difference in the world around you. The need for military force will more than likely never disappear in this world. We need the protection from the forces around the globe to guarantee the rights and the privileges that we can express even today. It's through our soldiers, through our sailors, through our airmen, through our Marines, that we have the luxury of unprecedented freedoms on this earth. But also remember, only Jesus can grant us the freedom from sin that His sacrifice, the giving of His life, has granted us. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. His truth is hope. His hope is hope.